gold-plated diapers.
Hey, Jellyheads, and welcome back after our hiatus on Flapdoodle Forum, the show where we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture
and provide our insight and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Lucas Wilson.
And Matt Buckley.
So we've been gone a long time, Matt.
I don't think I've ever gone that long without doing a podcast with you.
We've done like a week off or 2 weeks off, you know, especially the Highwaymen, which is kind of weird because we're shooting Highwaymen now.
I can't believe it's been a
year. And we recorded episodes ahead of time so that we wouldn't have to.
We built up like a... a little stash.
So that we could release them while we're shooting. And then again, and then what happens around the same time? Well, we move places and...
Things happen, you know? Life changes and sometimes you gotta take a little break. But I'm glad to be back.
I am too, man. I'm digging this new desk we got.
Yeah, feels more studio-ish now.
Yeah, well, thank goodness.
Very cool.
Pat Kioski.
Pat!
Our
pulling
resident,
through, that
our
guy.
Resident handyman.
You hand him a hammer and nails and wood and the things that guy can churn out. A couple other tools that I failed to mention.
I don't think a hammer was involved at all.
Really?
Except to maybe get legs on.
Well, you know what I meant there. It's amazing what that man can accomplish. But anyway.
What did the blind carpenter do?
What?
He picked up a hammer and saw.
All
right, man.
Ba-dum-boom, ba-dum-boom.
All right, so we're getting back into the swing of things here. So who do you think should go first here? Should
well, I? My story is so crazy.
Did you?
What?
Well, it sounds like you want to go first.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to have such a good story that you're just, you know, you don't want to follow this act that I have, or do you? How good is your story, do you feel?
Mine's kind of like a compilation.
Compilation?
Yeah.
You can't just compile things for Flapdoodle.
Well, it's a list of, all right, you'll see. You'll see what I got. I just thought some of them were kind of
fun. All right, you know what? I'll go first.
Go first, man.
The story may be hard for you to believe.
I don't believe it already.
Now, let me ask you, Lucas, and our listeners,
mm-hmm.
do you believe in reincarnation?
I would say no.
Okay. Well, there's a story that I found on the Epic Times.
The Epic Times.
The Epoch, you know.
Oh, that epic.
Yes.
As in a span of time.
Mm-hmm.
Epic Times.
Yes,
I get
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I wasn't too sure about reincarnation either, but it's a really interesting topic. Title of this story is 3-year-old remembers past life, identifies murderer, and location of body.
What? Wait, what?
Exactly. Very flapdoodle worthy article.
All right, go on.
So, this was published May 17th by Tara McIsaac.
Tara McIsaac, okay.
A 3-year-old boy in the Golan Heights region near the border of Syria and Israel said he was murdered with an axe in his previous life. He showed village elders where the murderer buried his body, and sure enough, they found a man's skeleton there.
Okay.
He also showed the elders where the murder weapon was found, and upon digging, they indeed found an axe there. Now, this was in a book, Children Who Have Lived Before, Reincarnation Today. So this book tells the boy's story, along with other stories of children who seem to remember their past lives with verified accuracy.
So like a whole anthology.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. This boy's story was witnessed by Dr. Eli Lash, who is best known for developing the medical system in Gaza. Let's see here.
The what system? The Eli system?
No. The medical system in Gaza. His name is Dr. Eli Lash.
Oh. They should call him the Eli system.
The boy was of the Druze ethnic group. And in his culture, the existence of reincarnation is accepted as fact. His story, nonetheless, had the power to surprise his community. Obviously. He was born with a long red birthmark on his head. The Druze believe, as some cultures do, that birthmarks are related to past life deaths. When the boy was old enough to talk, he told his family he had been killed by a blow to the head with an axe. So it is customary for elders to take a child at the age of 3 to the home of his previous life if he remembers it. The boy knew the village he was from. They went there, and then when they arrived at the village, the boy remembered the name he had in his past life. Now, this story gets weirder. A village local said the man the boy claimed to be the reincarnation of had gone missing 4 years earlier. His friends and family thought he may have strayed into hostile territory nearby, as sometimes happens. The boy also remembered the full name of his killer. When he confronted this man, the alleged killer's face turned white, but he did not admit to the murder. The boy then said that he could take the elders to where the body was buried. In that very spot, they found a man's skeleton with a wound to the head that corresponded with the boy's birthmark. They also found the axe, which was the murder weapon. So, supposedly faced with this evidence, the murderer admitted to the crime. Dr. Lash, the only non-Druze, was present through this whole process.
Well, epic times. Is this a legitimate place?
I haven't done full research on this. You're welcome to fact check me. I just stumbled across this story.
Oh, that's interesting. So
if it's real, then it's pretty crazy.
Okay, so according to them, large birthmarks are indicative of a past death.
Correct. Yep.
Does that mean like Mikhail Gorbachev was like bludgeoned over the head by someone in a previous life?
Quite possibly,
life?
Yeah.
I got a birthmark on my leg.
Yeah, I have a few birthmarks. So small ones. I don't know if they indicate puncture marks or
bit by a snake on my leg. Yeah. And I died. How come I can't remember anything?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, what makes somebody remember their past life versus somebody who doesn't?
Is this like a baby geniuses theory where after a certain age you lose all memory of your previous life?
Could be. And this child was able to communicate all that stuff before he lost touch with it.
3 years old. You're not particularly articulate then. You're just starting to form sentences.
You don't have a lot of communication ability.
I'm like, how are you going to be able to go like,
this man killed me.
Like, my name was Herb blah, 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 Michael.
I feel like a 3-year-old wouldn't really have like a full comprehension of death and
injury.
And
does that mean that it adds more weight to what his
or less?
Less, yeah.
It could go either way. This could very well be a hoax.
My parents one time claimed when I was like 2 or 3 or something, I saw our dead dog walk through the house.
This sounds familiar.
Have I mentioned? Yeah, I've mentioned before. Yeah,
the ghost episode.
Nick, something. I have no memory of this.
Were you around the same age? Said. They should have asked more.
Yeah, but then. What's the deal with ghosts, dude?
Well,
can ghost and reincarnation exist in the same?
It's a good question. But I mean, if this story is real, that's irrefutable proof that reincarnation is real, because there's no other way that the boy would have known, you know, where the body was, where the murder weapon was, who killed that person.
Did you bring in another story where this psychic woman showed where, like, boys were buried or something?
It's interesting stuff.
Although,
I don't know, psychics I'm a little bit more skeptical of.
Yeah, they consistently get proven to be...
Because, and I've talked to my girlfriend about this, because she firmly believes in psychic readers and stuff like that. Like, you know, I'm actually supposed to bring her to like a palm reading or something with Lauren.
My ex-girlfriend's mother would have like psychic parties where like a medium would come over to the house and like check for ghosts.
Well, here's the thing. There's been a long-standing, like since the 70s, I think, 70s or 80s, a long-standing reward.
That guy? I watched some of his episodes of his TV show.
Yeah, anybody who can scientifically prove in like a controlled environment that they're psychic, it's like a $2 million reward or something like that.
Yeah, or any other thing.
Nobody's ever...
He's still alive. He still has the check written and ready to go.
Nobody's ever done it.
So
if psychics really exist, they'd be tripping over themselves trying to prove it.
He keeps stumping them all the time, then they make up an excuse.
Yeah.
Or one time this guy was like telekinetic guy on. He's like...
The guy who tried to blow out the fire or whatever?
No, he would like do things like move a pencil.
Oh, yeah.
Or move the pages of a book. But he's going like, well, what you're doing here is you're blowing on the page discreetly.
I remember
seeing
that.
One page at a time, And then with the pencil, I'll do the same thing. So you're putting on the edge and then just using the shift in air by moving your hands to move the pencil. And so he does the same exact thing as the guy did. And then he's like, okay, so let's see what you do with the... I'm going to put these packing peanuts around the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Try to move the book and see if you can move it.
Oh, my powers aren't working now.
So I can't.
Spiritual balance has been...
It's interfering with the energy. I can't do it. It's like, okay. One other one stand out in my mind. He did a thing with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, that like bugs me the most, because it's just like so obviously it's freaking rock.
It's so awesome that he humiliated these people on television.
And he's just like, okay, now she's trying to perform this crystal hokey jokey. And then he puts a test to him. It's like, okay, can you tell which one's like the crystal and which one's the rat poison?
Mm-hmm.
And like she picks like the rat poison.
Yeah, so I'm pretty skeptical of psychics, psychic powers. And
there was a period in like the early 2000s when like there was some psychics with TV shows, right? I think there was a guy on Sci-Fi Channel who had a show where people would come in and he would tell them things about dead relatives. And there was a woman on Animal Planet who talked to owners about their deceased pets.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Forgot her name was. I think they ended up testing her too one time. They were just like, can you see which one of these, like showed her a picture of animals and which asked her what they died from and she didn't get any of them right.
Bunch of scam artists. I read that, I think in the 80s or 90s, the CIA invested a lot of money into
they
a program
did.
For
That's what,
remote
men,
viewing.
Men Who Stare at Goats is based on that.
Yeah. So,
wait. I'm sorry, I didn't even let you finish.
What?
Based on what? Moving? Are we talking about the same thing? Are you talking about when the government spent money on a psychic program?
Yeah, remote viewing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the CIA was going to use it so we could, like, you know, find out secrets about, you know, foreign
like one of them was, like,
countries and whatnot.
People who tried to, like, stop the heart of goats. Their mind, which spawns that movie.
Oh.
Our government did that, Matt.
Our government did some pretty crazy stuff during the Cold War.
They explored psychic powers.
Wasn't there... What was MK Ultra?
All right,
was
internet.
Was that related to psychic powers? Or was that where they tested, like, drugs on people and stuff?
It refers to CIA's mind control program. It's a codename for U.S. government's human research and operations experiment. Organized
that was during
the Scientific
like the 70s,
Intelligence
right?
Division of the Central Intelligence Agency. And they did like LSD experiments and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
So I guess they were maybe just trying to figure out better torture.
Probably, yeah.
Like coercive techniques or something.
Cool.
Is it cool, Matt?
No, that's not cool.
Next topic!
Okay, so I guess my turn, huh?
Yeah, show me this, this anthology
okay.
of flapdoodles.
Well, maybe not some other.
Flapthology.
It's an IO9 thing. IO9 by Lauren Davis. 10 real life laws that regulate the supernatural world.
Okay.
Thought I'd just, this would be a fun way to return. In some cases, U.S. home sellers must tell a buyer if a property is haunted.
That harkens back to your New Hampshire home.
Yeah. I don't think we told anybody.
What was the state law there? Was there a...
I have no idea. What is this?
It'd be funny
like
to
a,
look into.
A court case, what, 1991, a case is Strambowski versus Ackley. Helen Ackley had sold her Nyack, New York property after she and other members of her family had widely reported that the house was haunted by poltergeist. Jeffrey Sambowski, unaware of the story, surrounded the house, purchased the home, and later sued, requesting rescission of the contract sale. The New York Supreme Court justices had a field day writing the opinion stating that the plaintiff hasn't a ghost of a chance, and I'm moved by the spirit of this equity. While the court didn't state that poltergeist actually exist, it did say, based on the wide report of house's haunted status, that it is a value was affected and therefore the house was haunted in a matter of law.
Okay. So it's basically just acknowledging what other people say about the house, which affects the value.
Yeah.
Saying fair
people
enough.
Knew, yeah. But then again, it's like, yeah, I guess so. It's like, you knew it was haunted, so why did you?
Or you knew people claimed it was haunted. In this case. Go court system.
All right, number two. But if you base your horror movie on a true story or famously haunted house, you can avoid all sorts of intellectual property issues.
Go on.
So, let me see. Famous mockbuster movie house, The Asylum, is best known for their movies that exploit popularity of other films. Paranormal Entity for Paranormal Activity. Almighty Thor for Thor. Transmorphers for Transformers, and so on. Inspired by the film The Haunting, in Connecticut, Asylum made their own Haunting of Winchester House, based on the story surrounding the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California. The corporation owns the Winchester Mystery House, sued for trademark violation. The California Court of Appeals ruled that since the name and the images of the Winchester House refer to not just the tourist attraction, but to the historical and legendary stories surrounding the property, that Asylum had every right to make its own Winchester House film.
Interesting.
Since the legend is in public domain. Can use it.
So that applies to all legends. You can't copyright a legend?
That's what it sounds like. Not if it's already...
That makes sense because legends
I mean,
are...
You could copyright... You have the copyright on your exact interpretation of this legend. Like,
well, like a legend by nature is something that tons of people have like passed down
like Disney
and
does
collaborated
not own,
on.
Does not own Cinderella. But they own their own version of Cinderella.
Gotcha.
So anybody can tell any story of Cinderella, but they don't own that character.
That would explain why there's a bunch of Cinderella retellings and like TV series and whatnot.
In San Francisco, you need a license to practice necromancy. There are laws.
It's a city law.
Yeah, there are laws regulating the practices of magical arts around the world, from the tragic laws that see people killed for supposedly practicing witchcraft to the Canada's law regulating crafty sciences. But Kevin Underhill of the legal blog Lowering the Bar, and author of the wonderfully weird law book The Emergency Sasquatch Ordinance, points to a particularly oddball rule in San Francisco. The city of San Francisco offers fortune-telling permits, which includes permission to pretend to practice fortune-telling, but then goes on to offer a bizarrely inclusive definition of the fortune-telling that includes neuromancy, or in the manipulation...
You mean necromancy?
Yeah, what am I talking about?
You said neuromancy.
Oh, that's a book. Neuromancer.
All right, William Gibson.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Necromancy. I'm sorry, audience.
We got your point.
Yeah, Dave's going to listen to that and have a field day. Right. Fortune telling that includes necromancy or the manipulation of the dead. I imagine that certain types of necromantic practices would run afoul of other cities, state, and federal laws. However, not to mention the laws of nature. Anything to say about that? You can be a licensed necromancer in San Francisco.
What is the legal definition of a necromancer?
I don't know. I guess
just
it
somebody
falls
who
under
pretends
fortune,
to
it falls under fortune teller, and a fortune teller can be.
But you mentioned somewhere that
someone...
a fortune teller is somebody pretending to be a fortune teller.
The city of San Francisco offers fortune telling permits, which this is in parentheses, which includes permission to pretend to be to practice fortune telling.
So it's basically just saying that you're a pretend necromancer.
It's saying that you can pretend to say you are, whether or not you are.
Why
or
would
not.
There be a law on that? Or whatever?
Because I guess, again, scamming and stuff. Some people made a business of being a fortune teller when actually they can't tell anybody's fortune. And you can't sue them. Because they have a permit. I guess you need the permit to do it. Otherwise, you're an illegal fortune teller. In New Orleans, a person may not set forth his or her power to convert bitterest enemies into staunchest friends.
Is this like a voodoo thing?
I guess so. It's New Orleans, after all.
Yes.
It's no surprise that New Orleans, a city long associated with the practice of voodoo and the supernatural, has very particular laws governing the use of magic as a business, such as this one. Fortune telling, this is a law, section 54312. Fortune telling, it shall be unlawful for any person to advertise for or engage in for a moneyed consideration the business of chronology, phrenology, astrology, palmistry, telling or pretending to tell fortunes, either with cards, hands, water, letters, or otherwise to methods to hold inductions, blah, 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 to bring together the separated, to locate the buried or hidden, blah, 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 blah. I think just goes on and on and on. Locate or lost absent friends or relatives to reveal, remove, avoid domestic troubles, or bring together the bitterest of enemies, converting them into staunchest friends. But nothing herein contained shall apply to any branch of medical science or any religious worship.
Yet voodoo dolls remain legal.
So you can't practice. So it's basically a law against voodoo. You can't practice the dark arts.
Oh. I thought it was like converting your...
Well, that is a huge list of different...
Oh, okay.
Things like to set forth his power to settle loveless quarrels, to bring together the separated, to locate buried or hidden treasure, jewels, wills, bonds, or other valuables, to remove evil influences, to give luck, to affect marriages, to heal sickness, to reveal secrets. Can't do any of that.
But no voodoo dolls.
I don't know. It might fall under...
There might be a loophole.
Yeah. Number 5. Different jurisdictions have very different laws governing the hunting of Bigfoot.
I've heard some stuff about this.
Want to bag yourself a cryptid? The best place to go is Texas, where Chief of Staff of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department of Law Enforcement Division has said that it is legal to kill Bigfoot since it isn't listed by the state as a game animal. But Sasquatch hunting is actually on the books in Skamania County, Washington, where a lot of Bigfoot sightings are. Well,
right.
Washington in general.
Yeah.
Where in 1969, the Board of Commissioners adopted an ordinance declaring the killing of a nocturnal primate mammal variously described as an ape-like creature or subspecies of Homo sapien a felony. One that could result in a $10,000 fine and 5 years in county jail. So you could go to county...
Bigfoot is protected in Washington.
So you could go to jail for 5 years if you kill Bigfoot.
Jeez, a felony. Lose your right to vote and everything.
The U.S. State Department issued a set of rules for Yeti hunting in the Himalayas in case you were not allowed... In that case, you were allowed to photograph the creature but could kill it only in self-defense. Oh, this was for U.S. Embassy workers in Nepal.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, why? That wouldn't apply towards
So if you're
anybody.
Embassy in Nepal, if you're working for an embassy in Nepal, you can take pictures of the Yeti, but you can't kill it.
Okay.
If you want to start a construction project in Iceland, you may want to check with the local elves. So we've talked about this before.
I saw the episode of Destination Truth with the Icelandic elves. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that episode?
I think so. It's just Josh keeps running back and forth. Going, oh, what is
they
that?
Say,
what was that?
For the record, they say rocky outcropping about 10 times in that episode.
Oh, I think I saw something near that rocky outcropping.
And then there's this part where a tripod that I guess is supposed to be like super stable just gets knocked over.
Yeah.
And you can see like the footage of it like falling over and everything. And I guess it was so stable that it had to have been pushed over. So those mischievous elves.
Yeah. Number 7. Tibetan Buddhists must apply for a reincarnation license from the Chinese government. Throwback to your story.
It's almost like we planned it.
Want to become a tuku, one of the enlightened teachers of the Tibetan Buddhism? In China, you'll need to follow the State Religious Affairs Bureau Order Number 5 and fill out a reincarnation application. The application will be submitted to the Religious Affairs Department of the provincial level government, State Administration for the Religious Affairs, and the State Council. So what happens if you're reincarnated as a living Buddha without a permit? Your reincarnation is deemed illegal or invalid. Bizarrely, China Daily calls the ban on unlicensed reincarnations an important move by the government to safeguard religious freedom of citizens according to law.
That's strange.
So you can't... I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't really follow that one. Don't really see why that law needs to exist.
Basically, I guess it's probably more as a jab to Tibetans who
makes sense.
Want independence.
Right.
And it's like...
Although, I mean... They already don't take the Chinese government seriously, so they're not going to go out of their way to fill out these applications, I bet.
But it's like, what are you going to do if you get reincarnated? How are you going to tell? Yeah, I don't know. If you want to perform an exorcism, you should probably do it in Texas. In a rather tragic case, Laura Schubert claimed that when she was 17, members of her church, the Pleasant Glade Assembly of God, performed an exorcism on her against her will, and that she received physical injuries and began hallucinating as a result. While a lower court awarded Schubert $300,000 for abuse and false imprisonment, Pleasant Glade Assembly of God eventually appealed to Texas Supreme Court, which in a 6-3 decision rejected the jury award on the First Amendment ground, saying that the case would unconstitutionally entangle the court in matters of church doctrine. The U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear Schubert's appeal.
Wow. That almost went to the U.S. Supreme?
Yeah.
I would probably say that Texas's religious devotion compared to more liberal states would have something to do with that ruling.
Yeah, but it's basically saying that the church, it's like, oh, we don't want to get into entangle affairs of, like, the church and state and stuff. But it's like, but then, again, that just gives...
Well, that's a precedent
for...
The
church could just, like, kidnap somebody now.
Yeah.
Against their will and say that it was for an exorcism, and then they're protected.
It's true. Then they have that precedent to go on. When was that ruling?
It actually does not say. There is a link to the Supreme Court thing. This was posted January 2009. Is that good enough for you, Matt?
That will satisfy my request.
All right, let's see here. You can't sue the devil in the U.S. Gerald Mayo filed a suit against Satan and his staff, arguing that the devil had violated his constitutional rights and caused plaintiff misery and unwarranted threats against the will of the plaintiff, that Satan had placed deliberate obstacles in his path and has caused plaintiff's downfall. In a 1971 United States District Court decision, Judge Gerald J. Weber actually puzzled out the jurisdictional issues involving suing Satan. He noted that even if Satan were to appear, he would probably be considered a foreign sovereign and would argue that the U.S. court lacked personal jurisdiction over him. He also noted that Mayo's case would work nicely as a class action lawsuit provided one would actually sue Satan. Ultimately, though, the case was dismissed because Mayo provided no instructions for serving process on Satan. More recently, Nebraska State Senator Ernie Chambers tried to sue God and fared no better in the court.
Well, how far do these people really think they're going
to
be able to get
I don't understand what this guy was trying to accomplish. Because
lawyer is going to take
get
that
money
case?
From? I don't know. Yeah, somebody did. But you can sue a genie in Saudi Arabia. 2009, a Saudi Arabian family filed suit against a genie in Sharia court.
Sharia.
Oh, Sharia. I did not see the H there. Yeah. Sharia court. Claiming that the genie was leaving harassing voicemail messages, stealing their cell phones, and throwing rocks at them. The head of the court, Sheikh Amir Al-Salmi, announced that there would be an investigation into the family's genie claims, but not clearly exactly what a lawsuit against the genie entails or what sort of restitutions one can expect.
Okay, genie, pay up.
Wow. So that's
that was really interesting.
I thought that would be fun to share here on our dearest
Thank you for sharing.
Of Doodle.
And then can never have too much supernatural stuff.
But I don't know what this...
Looks like a supernatural court case.
Oh, it's called it's from a comic called Supernatural Law. I guess it's a webcomic.
Oh, cool. Reminds me, not directly, but I read an article recently that...
That I'm awesome?
Yeah, but in addition to that, there was this organization that conducted a poll about people's beliefs in like the supernatural, such as witchcraft, magic, reincarnation, ghosts, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, it found almost a direct correlation between the respondent's age and how likely they were to believe in these things. People who were younger were more likely to believe in ghosts and supernatural phenomena versus people who were older were more skeptical and less likely.
But then does it start taking a turn once you get even older?
Didn't
like,
say.
Is there a bell curve maybe? Because
I don't
see like older people
you would think,
and
yeah.
younger people.
Because like very old people would be more superstitious and everything you would think. But you would think also that young people would be more skeptical because we have more like science and technology and
like you're young.
Influencing
so, like,
our lives.
You know, you're a little more influenced and you kind of think about all this stuff.
Yeah, you're definitely more impressionable when you're younger.
But then once you start to get your adult, become more cynical, more critical of things. But then when you get older, you become trusting again and start believing. It's interesting.
Yeah, I remember I started becoming interested in supernatural stuff when I was in 6th or 7th grade. So that was before I really developed my skeptical side.
You and I are still like to throw things at each other once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still really interested in it, but I'm a lot more skeptical.
Yeah,
now.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, watching
I'm
Josh,
very questioning.
Like,
I think
I think I would have been more amazed by certain things happening on Destination Truth when I was younger.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, I know exactly what that is.
Yeah,
it's like what you're saying right there. It's that
if I had watched the current show of Destination Truth when I was like 13, I would be blown away by it. Like,
holy cow!
Yeah.
That camera fell over. There has to be elves.
They captured something in the thermal imager.
Yeah.
Bigfoot definitely exists.
There's only been an episode here or there where it's like, there was one, I think both of like, there was two, or might have been the same Bigfoot episode, where they got like one really great print, and they also, a pretty convincing skull cap of a Yeti was like at this temple.
I think in one of the episodes, they actually collected a hair sample in the Himalayas that was like... sent to a lab and they found it didn't belong to any known primate species or something like that. So it was actually a significant discovery. I don't know. This is kind of getting carried away, but I'm really skeptical of Bigfoot. I know thousands of people have seen him, but there has never been primate found in the North American fossil record. And there's never obviously been any remains discovered or anything like that. So I just don't see how it's possible that something would have shown up by now.
Cool.
I know Roger Huffman would disagree. But...
Oh, Homer, dude. All right. Well, Jellyheads, thanks for listening to our reappearance here on Flap Doodle Forum. I hope you enjoyed us talking about these creepy things. Yeah. If you liked what you heard, may I suggest you go over to our website at psychojellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. You could also follow us on Stitcher and iTunes. If you're a fan and you want to help spread the madness, give us a like at facebook.com/psychojellyfish. Or follow us on Twitter and give us a And if you got any thoughts, words, comments, or questions, or perhaps a strange news story you want to share with us, send it away at email at psychojellyfish.com or leave it in the comment section. It's been a fun one, folks.
Goodbye.
Keep it psycho.
I'm ready.
Picture yourself in pajamas and on the moon.
I'm going to have to close my eyes and imagine I'm in your old studio so I can get over this anxiety I'm having right now.